Children can be great storytellers. Just ask them what happened to their homework sometime. But even at an age when the imagination is very active, the tools for taking the stories to a bigger audience are limited. Well, pushing the limits is what the organization Stories Alive is all about. Its name is descriptive. It brings the stories of children to life in performance. Stories Alive is based in the Rogue Valley and currently at work with a group of Ashland students. Jean Renaud is the director of Stories Alive and an educator and a performer and our guest here in the studio. Jean, thanks for joining us.
That's right. Good morning. I'm so happy to be here.
Tell us about yourself and the creation of Stories Alive. I mean, what were some of the steps that led up to this? This must have been something you wanted to do for a long time.
Right. There are so many reasons why I created this. I would say the top three are, first and foremost, I've been an educator and a performer, so this is my way of combining the two. Second of all, I wanted to create a program that really supported teachers and libraries around the area. And the other reason is because, probably the top reason, I really wanted to empower children. What I know about them is that from being an educator, when I take work and I bring it beyond the grade, when I make it meaningful to them, that it has a connection to their real life, in other words, life outside of the walls, when it connects them to their home, to even, you know, media is so important, actually. It's so invasive. It's just part of their life, really.
Everybody wants to be entertained all the time,
right,
it seems.
Right. So when we take it past the four walls of the classroom, it heightens everything. It heightens their engagement. It heightens the importance. So
it becomes less like learning, less like obligation.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It becomes living inside of them. It becomes something that they want to share and they want to do. Children get excited, I know, as an educator, about school when it's like that, when they know that it holds real meaning to them.
So how did the whole concept of Stories Alive come to fruition? How did this all boil up in your head?
Right. I used to be a storyteller. I would travel around the country. Actually, the first time I made it through Oregon was I was on my way to the Oregon Country Fair. And so I used to create shows for children. And I realized at the end of my show, I would always do an improv part where children would throw out stories, ideas, and adults too. I had some adult followers who would come and see my shows, and I realized that those shows, the last part of the show where it was improv, working on the children's ideas, were the most impacting to the audience. It was almost like I think as a performer, sometimes you can feel, it sounds kind of funny, but you can feel like an invisible energy, a connection between yourself and the audience. And though that last part of the show, when it came from the audience's ideas, was when I really felt the magic, and I realized, wow, everybody has a story to tell. And sometimes there's a lot of collective stories of a community that's living for them at that moment or maybe in a classroom. And there sometimes it ends up being a theme or anyways. But whatever it is that's brought out seems to be the story that was needed to be heard. And I think that's so powerful. And I was inspired too, and I've been an educator in Tucson. There's another program called Stories at Soar that also brings children's stories to life. So I've created programs for public schools before, and I've had this experience of bringing children's stories to life, so I wanted to do it in a bigger way and reach out to more children.
And how long have you been doing it as Stories Alive?
It hasn't quite even been a year yet. It's brand new.
All right, so we're still in the formative stages here.
Yes.
Jean Renaud is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the director and educator who is it just you or is there more people involved in Stories Alive?
I have lots of supporters and I have some great actor friends out there that I pull in, and I will be having a call out for actors in a week. So I think hopefully it will grow to a group, a collective.
You can ask some questions of Jean, discuss this whole process, talk about children and stories at 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us, in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So tell us about how the whole Stories Alive process works. I suspect this large glove you are wearing on your right hand has something to do with it.
Oh, yes. Oh, I should introduce him. This is Randall the Reading Rat.
Hello?
Hi, Randall. So he's here. He's a big blue rat. And he's in the studio with us. And in fact, when I came in this morning, somebody mentioned that there was a mouse in the building and it took me a second to realize, oh, they were talking about Randall here. But
there is a picture on Facebook by the time we're done with the program today.
Right. Yes, he's big and he's blue and he reads. And his story is that He drives a story machine into town, and right now it is at the Ashland Public Library. And so he drives the story machine in town, and then the story machine is kind of an elaborate box where children can submit their stories into. And then I get the stories about 3 weeks later. I read them, script them out, hire the actors, and then a month later we put on a live show for the entire community that is 100% fueled by the stories that children write.
So what age groups are you generally shooting for here? What are the ones at which the kids seem to have the best combination of story invention skills and storytelling skills?
Right. Okay. So for me, I think that is pretty broad. I target elementary school students. But I would say, and I've been a third grade teacher mostly, so I love third grade writing. But, you know, I think even the younger ones, early childhood students, preschool students, in other words, they can write very imaginative stories. And yes, I know it's kid writing, and a lot of times it's more dictation where somebody, an adult, is writing down what they say. But those can make beautiful stories, and they need to be empowered too, knowing that their stories, that their thoughts are very important. I create writing workshops for children, helping, you know, first graders, second graders, third graders create a middle, a beginning, middle, and an end. I think, you know, and sometimes it's poems. Sometimes it's pieces of stories that actually are very entertaining. You know, we always think, oh, these stories have to be in a certain way. But a lot of our famous authors that we know, like Joyce, I mean, there's so many people out there that write that we see as these fantastic authors of literature. They didn't follow specific rules.
And so how much embellishment, how much polishing up, I mean, how much elaboration do you do upon the stories that the kids write? You try to stay, I mean, obviously you're trying to stay true to their original purpose, but I mean, how much bigger are you going to make it to put it into a stage production?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because by the time we get the stories and then I script them out and then actors come in and add their own flavor, they can be a little bit different, but the main storyline and the characters that they create, I try to stay as true to the child's work as possible. And I have to add that if they add pictures, that helps too. So last time I did this at Walker Elementary School last year, and they were first graders. And so some of the first graders, there were a lot of stories about dragons and fairies. So actually we took a bunch of them and compiled them all into one play.
So one sort of series of adventures of a
right.
of dragons and fairies.
Right. Right.
What's the reaction then? It must blow a kid's mind to think I wrote this silly story about a dragon and a fairy, and there it is up on stage in front of me.
That's right. It is incredibly empowering. I think when they see that their words can transform into a high quality production, it's beyond words. I think it's incredible.
Have there been any particular surprises in the stories that you've gotten? Anything that's been a little tricky to tell, perhaps, and maybe because the subject was a little more sensitive than you might have thought?
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay, so I think that's a really great question. Last year, the show that we did at Walker, so like I said, one little play was all about fairies and dragons. But there were many stories that children had written about death of pets. For a first grader, that was pretty awakening for them to experience something like that. And then we got a group of stories that seemed to be about home relationships and having to move from one house to another, or parents split. So you get these stories that are really from the heart and surprising. One time I got a story from a child who was writing about the death of somebody in their family. And it was really like they kept trying to find this family member wherever they went. And the story didn't have an ending because the child didn't really have an ending for it yet. So
the search went on.
Right, exactly. So it's just it's incredible. It's an incredible experience for me as a reader of these stories to see how much goes through these little children's head. These were a bunch of stories from 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds. So, yes, it's very moving. It's awakening to me to see all the things that they think of.
Jean Reno is our guest, educator, performer, and director of Stories Alive, working in the Ashland area. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with comments or questions about kids and stories, 800-838-3760, anywhere you can hear us. Our Rogue Valley local number, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So taking fairly moving stories that children have told and putting them on stage, one thing, have any kids ever come up and said, you know, you got my characters, but you really didn't get the tone right, or this isn't
that? Well, I think, okay, so let's say that they write them, and then the story machine is there for about a month. So that's, let's say that they write it, and then 3 weeks later, their story's still sitting there. And then 3 or 4 weeks later, the show goes on. That's almost 2 months. For a child, that's a really long time. That's why we try actually so hard to, I get the stories, we work on them quickly and turn it around as fast as we can, because to the life of a child, it's longer. You know, I mean, I remember waiting for Christmas and it felt forever, right? So by the time that their story's up, they're like, was that my story? I'm not really sure. Right? There's sometimes they forget and then they remember. I've had that happen before, but usually no, they know. They know. And now that like I said, this is a new operation. This is a new nonprofit, but I'm learning as I go on how to help and coach and teach writers' workshops and help support teachers so that we really get these more detailed stories. The deeper the stamp is from the child, then the more significantly they will remember and know, oh, that is my story because I put all of this into it.
As a nonprofit, you're obviously eligible for grants, and I assume you've probably been pursuing some as well?
Yes.
And getting them?
One small one, but not all. Yes. I just became a nonprofit this fall. So it's just beginning.
A few months
ago. So
okay.
It's a lot of out of my pocket. And, right.
Tell us about the productions then. I mean, how elaborate do you get? Obviously, this is not a huge budget operation. Certainly not with one grant under your belt and
right.
less than a year in business. So, I mean, what do you have? Costumes? I mean, you mentioned hiring actors and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So, I mean,
I think it's best. We have to remember that the most important thing is the child's story. So it's really not about all the elaborate costumes. Like last show, we had this huge school bus that we built. It was just a 2D, you know, just flat, made out of wood that we carried around with holes punched out for people's heads. It was whimsically painted by a friend Bobby of mine. And so, yeah, there are set pieces created, but really it is raw storytelling for the children. This time I'm actually have written, composed a theme song. I have somebody in England who is creating that for us. We're getting this next time lights, a camera operator to record it. It's getting more and more and more professional, but still, no matter what, no matter all the, you know, the lights, the props, the costumes, the most important thing is telling these children's stories. And then I also have to say too, you know, hundreds of stories are now into the story machine by now. I'm picking up a bunch from the Vibes Charter School in Medford tomorrow, and I believe some children from Talent will be submitting soon into the story machine. So I can't pick all the stories, but all of the stories will be published at the Ashland Public Library.
Okay, that was a question I had, was whether all the stories will actually make it to stage, and the answer apparently is no.
No, right, mm-hmm. No, probably up to 20.
All right, which is a pretty good number.
Mm-hmm.
There must, you know, I've watched kids have some reluctance, you know, about expressing things in creative ways because it reveals things about them that
yes.
they, in a lot of cases, would prefer not to reveal. So there's a potential, I would think, for some real barrier breaking for kids here. But also, you got to
right.
be sensitive about the material.
Right. That's right. And and that's so true. Like the show at Walker, I know there was one parent that thought, well, perhaps the story of the parent splitting, you know, touched a heartstring in them. But there's also there's a fine line. I think it's definitely, I know as an educator and somebody who's worked with children for years, yes, I want to be very sensitive to the content. Like I said, there was a story about the death. I didn't think the way that the child was writing, they weren't ready to share that really yet. So there is that. And I think it's nice on that therapeutic level that the story machine is there. The children can write to. You know, last year I got all these stories. I love you. It was called the Story Box last year. I love you, Story Box. Thank you for listening to my story. So there is that piece too. And then I just have to say, okay, what is the child ready for, and what are we ready for too as a community? But then, there, like you started off the show by saying, you know, it's pushing the barrier, and maybe it's, you know, I think having a voice from a child is so important. You know, maybe it is time that we listen to the child's story and see what can we do about that.
Do you go and pick up the stories from the story machine as they come in, or is it just one big dump at the end of the 3 weeks or something?
It's a big dump. I get really excited. I love seeing what
it's like
children
Christmas
write.
Day.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's piles of them, and I can't. I try to go through them all at once, but you just can't. And then I've got to go through them about three or four times, and then I put them in piles. I say, okay, this is very emotionally sensitive. This is fantasy. These are real life narratives. They don't have to make them up. They can be, you know, about them. This is poetic. So I create the show to make sure that there are different elements so that when I score it out, you know, just like you would when you go see a regular live play, there's should be ups and downs. You want to take the audience on a journey as well.
Mm-hmm, right. Not just the big, you know, all happy or all sad or anything
right,
like that. Sure.
Right.
If people want to bring stories alive to their schools, how do they contact you?
They can contact me. Okay, here's my phone number that I'm giving out to everyone. But it is 541-690-6745. I have a website called storiesalive.org. There is a button that you can click on from the homepage that is contact. You can contact me directly through storiesalive.org. And through there is also an email, which is storiesalive@hotmail.com.
Okay, we'll make sure all these links are available on Facebook once the program is over today, along with the picture of you and Randall the reading rep.
Yes, wonderful.
All right, thanks for joining us. Jean Renaud is the director of the Stories Alive Project. Thanks so much for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
That'll do it for this hour of the Jefferson Exchange. Gold mining with the new 49ers in hour number two coming up.